Let's enter into our lesson with prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask so much for your wisdom today, and we ask you that you guide us and lead us and open our eyes to your word and our hearts to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, there is so much about the goings-on of a church, and if something, anything, gets out of kilter, everybody can suffer. And we probably all have some kind of a testimony for that. As I said before, the homework's going to remain the same. Chapters 12 through 14 of 1 Corinthians. Study those diligently. I prefer you to study in the King James and possibly read other translations. If you're just reading out of newer translations, I would very much encourage you to read out of the King James, because it has a lot more of a literal type translation as well. The other translations, they're helpful in that they're easier to read. And study them diligently, because next week we're going to be getting into chapter 13. And everybody probably knows what that is, the love chapter. We're still in chapter 12. And I hope I don't go too fast. I'm going to do a lesson this morning, and I titled it, Deformed. Now, everybody knows what a birth defect is, right? A birth defect can go from something that's really mild, something you could hardly notice, to something that's extremely major that you could see right off the bat. So I want to introduce you to and let you meet for the next 3 minutes. This young guy, he's 25 years old right now. Nick, I don't know how to say his last name. He says it so fast, I can't. I've tried my best. But for 3 minutes, listen to his story.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Nick Vujicic. I live in Australia. It took me a couple of days to swim across. I have had a wonderful 9 weeks of my life, the best 9 weeks of my life. I tell you, I've been touring by the grace of God, and oh, God is so good. We did 2.5 weeks in South Africa. God gave me the strength to speak 40 times in 15 days, and I know. And sometimes 6 times a day doing schools and stuff, and it was wonderful. For those of you who don't know what happened, I was born this way. There's no medical reason why this had happened. So I have no arms, no legs. However, I have a little foot. This is my little chicken drumstick. It looks like a chicken drumstick, to tell you the truth. My dog, when he was going through his teething process, I used to hit him in the head every now and then. But I love swimming. I absolutely love swimming. The funniest thing about me swimming is because half of me is actually lung capacity, I actually float like a life jacket. Seriously. I float and I just bob there, so they call me Bob, right? And I float upright like this, and then I have my little motor here, and I go like that. Philippians 4:4 says this, here we go. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Go to verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding or surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now that's a wonderful opening. I love that. I never opened up with that verse before, and I think it's perfect. It's just a message. And I love how God is awesome. You know those songs that we just heard? Let this be a holy moment. And the second song was Your Grace is Enough. This is what this message today is about. Holy moments. Are they a good moment? Yes, absolutely. Do you feel good in a holy moment? Yes, absolutely. You know what? Something that Satan uses for us to stop us from being closer to God is fear. What's the first thing that you feel when something happens that you don't expect? Fear. Can you imagine my parents? Christian parents, my dad being the pastor at church, mum's there, she just gave birth to me, and she's actually not seeing what's going on. The doctors hold me down far enough so she can't see me because they're terrified with what reaction she's going to get. They had no warning at all. My dad saw me, honestly, his face, my mum said his face turned green and he left the room to go bleh, okay? No kidding. The midwives there, the nurses, they wrapped me up and and hid me from my mum's face. And the nurses were crying. And my mum's like, what is going on? Fear. Fear. When something happens in your life that you don't understand, that you don't expect, you are paralyzed with fear. But God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind and a lot of other things. But God's grace is enough, is the message today.
Praise the Lord. Who now has an excuse for not serving the Lord?
No.
You see, this is when we look at the difference between gifts and talents. And I want to say this very fast. Sometimes, I don't know if anybody here has done this, but there's some websites and other places where you can do what's referred to. They call them gift inventories. And basically, you go online and you put in a bunch of things, you answer a bunch of questions, and it tells you what your gift is. Well, excuse me, but probably is likely just talents. Why do I say that? If you were not saved and went online and took the same test, would it show you a gift? Yes, it would. You would have things, aptitudes, talents, things that you could do even before knowing Christ. Like I said, Hollywood is a perfect example. There are people who are so gifted, but they use it in the wrong way. On the other hand, a gift from the Holy Spirit is given to exalt Him. Now, the issue with the Corinthian church is that they were misusing or abusing both their gifts of the Holy Spirit. I know it sounds contradictory. I often question in my mind, how is that even possible? But the Holy Spirit enables you, gifts you, to do things that you ordinarily couldn't do. This man here has no arms and basically no legs. He had that little drumstick, he said. Did you see how he walked around? How he learned to do that? I don't know.
Well, he gets around, I think, very well to shape he's in.
Yes, and he moves. I keep waiting on him to fall. You know, what's going to happen if he falls? Well, I don't know if he can get up. He's learned to do that. And he's 25 years old, and I don't know if you caught the very beginning of it, but in that at one period, he spoke 40 times in 15 days. And that's what he does. He preaches his message. He goes to different countries, Africa and other countries. He's from Australia.
Well, how does he travel like that?
Oh, I'm sure he's got an entourage of people who help him. He's got like an entire ministry.
Johnny, that girl had a swimming accident.
Oh, yes, who was paralyzed afterwards. Yes, she's another one. She's another one. See, we could all say, well, I'm no use to God anymore because I'm incapacitated. I'm deformed. That's why I titled this message, Deformed. Because this man came out with a serious, serious birth defect. No arms, no legs. And you heard the story when he was talking about when his parents first saw him. His dad was so shaken up and sickened that he went out to throw up.
Well, I'm sure he has been sick.
He called them midwives, but nurses. There were crying.
That's just not something you expect. That's something to cry about, wasn't it?
Wasn't it, though? It's shocking because probably their first thought would have been like my first thought, will this child live? You would almost think, coming out deformed, it may not have a chance to live. And then if it lives, what kind of life's it going to have? See, that's the thinking process that people talk about when they think about abortion. Ah, what kind of life is that child going to have? Don't want to let it grow up poor. Look at this man. I mean, he had everything against him, and he is glorifying God with his body.
This is what he's making out of his life.
Yes, and at such a young age. Such a young age. And he is inspiring nations. I went on the website and I read a lot of comments about his ministry.
Well, in his mind, he seems very intelligent.
Very intelligent. He is very, in fact, I think he has two college degrees, one in finance and one in something else. It's not in preaching. That's kind of surprised me because that's what he spends most of his time doing, is preaching. But I just showed you 3 minutes of a 9-minute clip that I could have brought in.
That's a God-given.
Now see, it's God-given, isn't it? The Spirit, the Holy Ghost, His purpose is to enable you. Well, what does this have to do with the Corinthian church? Well, I wanted to show you that video to give you an idea of what a deformed body looks like. Well, Paul goes to great lengths. I mean, he spends a lot of verses comparing the church in general. That's not just here, but that's all of Christ's children as a body. But he also compares the Corinthian church assembly, just like our assembly here this morning, as a body. So not only is there this larger body of Christ, there's this smaller segment right here, right now, that we could say is the body of Christ. Do we all agree? Yes, we are all part of the body. Paul spends a lot of time, and I'm not going to read every scripture this morning, but he spends a lot of time talking about the body, how it functions, and you're probably thinking, well, I know how a body functions because I have one. Well, yes. And he's using that analogy so that you can understand. But here Paul is comparing the church congregation, the children of Christ, to a body. So here, starting in verse 12, he's kind of switching gears a little bit. Last week we studied about different kinds of gifts. Remember, the topic is gifts of the Holy Spirit. We can't forget that. So he says, now, as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, there's still one body. In other words, I got five fingers on this hand, five on this hand, two arms, two ears. You know all this. I'm still one body. He's saying you got all these different aspects, different members, even though there may be a lot, there's still one body. Being many are one body, so also is Christ. In other words, we, oh, amazing thought, we are Christ's body here on this earth. Think about that thought for a minute. Christ is no longer walking on this earth as a man.
There it is here. Holy Ghost.
Through the Holy Ghost, and we are His ambassadors, are His priests. We are His children. This is not our home, right? We say these things. Sometimes we say this is not our home, but we want to make it and live it like it's our home. Corinthian church was struggling from the inside. They were having issues. So Paul is just simply saying, he's like, look, you guys, there's a lot of you. You're doing different things. You're still of the one body. Now, he goes on to say, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. There you go again. I mean, he sometimes has to remind the Jews that, yes, the Gentiles are included. Sometimes he has to remind the Gentiles, yes, the Jews are included. And those words ring to us today. Yes, we got to remind some people, the poor people are included, the rich people are included. You know, we may not like to think we have biases, and I'm not talking about racial prejudices, but rich and poor, right side of the tracks, wrong side of the tracks. Yeah, I could go on. You see what I'm talking about? We start doing this comparison. Well, they're not good enough for our church. You know, they're not really good enough to be associated with. He's reminding them that we're still just one body, whether we be bond or free. There you go. Slave or free. Back then, they didn't associate whatsoever. One just commanded the other one to do. How high do you want to jump? He jumped. And have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So he repeats himself. Remember, I told you, whenever the Bible repeats itself, it's for emphasis. In other words, get this thought in your head. Cement it in your head. For the body is not one member, but many. So what problems is Paul about to address in this section that we're studying? Well, I put in our study guide, I think it's number 2. Question number 2, have you ever felt out of place? Have you ever felt like you have nothing to offer God? Have you ever felt like that you're really not necessary? That if you were not here, people wouldn't miss you? If you've ever felt like that, Yeah. Well, see, I hate to say it, but according to the scriptures, if you've ever felt like that, you're in the wrong. That's the first problem. Let me show you. Why do I say that? If the foot shall say, can feet speak? Okay, so he's not talking about a foot. Who's he talking about? Somebody in the church, a member, a Christian. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, the foot, I wish I was the hand, but because I'm not of the body.
I'm sure glad the feet could work.
Yeah. Well, see, the first problem Paul's addressing is that there's people saying, well, I don't have that guy's gift. I'm not able to do that. I'm not part of the body, really. I don't have much to offer. I'm really a nobody.
That's the enemy.
That's the enemy. Exactly right. See, the enemy wants to divide you, cause a, scripture says, a schism, a cut like. But the first problem he's saying, that if the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, well, I'm not even part of the body. So we have people in the Corinthian church who were thinking to themselves, I'm not worth much. My gift or my contribution to this church is not worth much. And that could apply to us today, and not gifts specifically. I may be taking a little liberty with the scripture here. The road that just got paved. I don't know how many of you know how that happened. The people who cleaned. How many people in here would even know who actually did it? The people who organized the song services. Gets everything prepared. Who did that? The people who even go so far as to get Eddie a cup of water. You got all this stuff going on in the background that 90% of us probably don't have a clue. But my point is, though, here you got people saying, I don't have anything to contribute. All I do is print paper for the pastor or for whomever. All I do is I take up prayer requests.
No matter how little or how big, it's important.
And you can't say that you're not part of the body. But do you see what I'm saying, folks? All these goings on. Remember last week we read that there's different administrations, different operations, different workings.
There's helps too.
Gifts of helps. Paul, we're going to read that in just a minute. And all of us are many, but the main point, we are one body. We are one body. We cannot say, because I'm not the one up here behind the pulpit, that I'm not of use to this church body. No, 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 no. Time out. You are of use. Now, you can absolutely sit yourself down and be of no use.
That's what the enemy wants.
The enemy wants you to be still. No, he don't want you working to advance the kingdom. Remember, the whole point of gifts at all is so that God can advance his agenda, not ours. That's where we get confused. God wants to advance his agenda. Here he took, and we just showed, a man who we would have said probably when he was 3 or 4 years old, don't have much chance in this world.
What we can do where other people don't know.
Yeah, and he will use the things that we would say can't be used. See, God delights to use those things that are weak. And so moving on, Paul goes on to say, now keep in mind, we just discussed, there's people saying, I'm not even of no use to the body. Well, another issue was, people were wanting to be the same thing, or the same function, or the same office. If everybody, if the whole body were an eye, again, he's using the analogy of a body, where would the hearing be? If the whole, if everything was just one gigantic ear standing up here, how would you hear what I'm even saying to you right now? Where would be the smelling? He's basically saying, you know, look, folks, you all want to be this. God has placed you just where he wants you. He distributes these gifts, these enablements, for you, specifically the way he wants. Not the way you want necessarily, but the way He wants. Verse 18 is one of our key verses. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it had pleased who? Him. Not them. See, sometimes we like to read them or us.
We're just walking a claim for ourselves then.
Yeah.
Taking glory that belongs to Him.
That's right. And that's problem number two that we're going to enter into.
Well, God's in charge of everything.
That's right.
You know, everybody in the church is of use to the church. You take when people get up on the thing or Eddie gets up on the preach, if he looks back over the crowd and he sees people sitting back there with just a blank look on their face, that's not going to give you much inspiration to go on and get into it. But if you look back and see everybody, that kid seeing.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And I didn't even think of that. But when somebody's up here ministering, preaching the gospel, they could easily fall under discouragement if they just see a... Yeah. Now, keep in mind, I know there are people who spend all hours of the night. They can't help it. I have actually fallen asleep in church before. No, I have. No. It's been a long time. But no, what she's saying is exactly right. So your small part, you might think it's small, but just paying attention. Paying attention to the message. Giving Eddie some feedback, maybe even the singing. Giving them feedback. You have to ask yourself, does a bird sing because he's happy or is he happy because he sings? You see, sometimes we're waiting for that spirit to fall, right? We're just, come on, Lord, bring it on down. Send down the rain, okay? But sometimes the rain comes when you get into the worship.
But you know, sometimes when it comes, you know what the problem is? We haven't prepared to feel for the rain.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. You don't come to church prayerfully or seeking God before you enter into those doors. Got to prepare that heart.
We don't wait till we come here to do that.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't.
I think that everybody should be prepared to come to church. What do you think the percentage is that people don't prepare to come to church, that they just got themselves into a Sunday morning routine? This is what I do on Sunday, go to church. You've got to prepare yourself to go to church. You don't want to go to church. You've got to get into the message. It shouldn't be just a routine thing.
You have, and of course, the words of Jesus, you have a mixture of the wheat and the tares. Definitely you're true and you're false.
You got to live all week.
You do. And you know, and I tell you, that's something else. I know we're getting off a little bit, but sometimes you've got all week's burdens that are just heavy laden on you right now. And yes, sometimes you've got to offload those to Christ before you come here. And sometimes you can't do it until you get here. It sometimes is difficult.
And the enemy will try to throw obstacles in your way.
Yes, he will. He'll do just like what he's talking about. If you don't prepare, I wouldn't have a clue really as to what percentage. It'd be only a guess really. But I'm sure we got a sufficient number that's why I think a lot of people aren't blessed. Problem number two. In verse 21, we're skipping down a little bit. In verse 21, Paul looks at it from a different perspective. Now, we just talked about problem number one. What was that? What was problem number one? But they didn't feel worthy. They didn't feel like they had anything to contribute. I'm a nobody in this church. Now, that's one problem. Problem number two, specifically, Paul changes focus from that group of Christians who say, I'm not even worth being here, nobody'd miss me if I was gone, till he puts his focus on the other group of Christians who are saying this. And the eye, we know the eye can't speak, so he's talking about somebody, and the eye cannot say unto the hand. First we had the foot, well, the hand saying to the foot, one or the other, that because I'm not the eye, I shouldn't even be part of the body. Here we have the eye saying unto the hand, I have no need of thee. God help us if we ever think that or say that to anybody within our church body. I don't have any use for you. Those are harsh words, isn't it? We wouldn't say it like that, would we? No, we'd couch it in something a lot more tactful.
Well, that can go to your grave with you if somebody would hurt you bad enough, say something, and you're doing the best you can.
Right. In fact, you may put a stumbling block in front of that person, which in the King James English says, you may cause them to offend, to sin.
It's kind of euthanasia and murder.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what he's talking about here. The other problem is we got people in the church saying, I don't have any use for that. Maybe the church down the road could use your services. You know, that's probably how we'd say it. Or something to that effect. But we can't say, I don't have any need of you. I have to hurry through some of this. I'll say it as tactfully as I can, folks. And you got to understand what Paul is talking to here. He goes off explaining more. He says, nay, or no, you could say no. Rather, you can't just say, I don't have need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Paul says we do need them. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Now, if you don't know what that means, let me say it in plain English. I'm wearing clothes so you cannot see my unmentionables. Now, our reproductive organs are so valued and highly important, we can create life. But we don't go off showing it around, do we? Some people do. That's true. God forgive them. They know not what they do. But do you see my point? Paul is making that same comparison. He's saying you've got some unmentionables and you cover them up with even more abundant. In other words, you give it more honor. That's what he's saying.
Unmentionables are supporting the outside.
Sure. And that's what we have here. We have a whole, I think Eddie used the word cast. He has a whole cast of support from this church who help support the preaching of the gospel. We can't say, like they did in problem number two, that we don't have any use for you. We'll let somebody else do that or somebody who knows a little bit more do that. No, we don't say that. That's wrong. Resist that temptation. But he also says sometimes somebody's got to get down and do the dirty work. Does that make sense? Sometimes somebody's got to do the dirty work, and those are the ones we should treat with more honor. So what you might think, I'm not saying you specific, the Christian, Paul's saying what you might think is unnecessary or useless or, I wouldn't have that job if you gave it to me. You know, if you got that kind of attitude, you're causing a schism in the church. You're deforming the body. And that's what he's saying. He says, we have the more feeble, the more comeliest parts that we need to be given more honor. And you could read the rest of that set of scriptures through verse 27. And very quickly, verse 28. Now remember, he just got through comparing it to a body. We're all important. You can't say somebody's not important. So now he sets out kind of an order of importance. And this scripture will make more sense in chapter 14. Not next week, but the week after probably. Verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps. Whoa, look at that, helps. Before governments. Imagine that. Helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. He's laying out an order kind of importance. Now, we'll get more on the diversities of tongues in chapter 14. But Paul gives an order. And the reason I don't believe there are any more apostles today is because if you read Revelation chapter 19, you will see that there will be 12 gates of the New Jerusalem with the name of each apostle. 12. There are no more apostles today, in my opinion. But certainly there are teachers. Possibly there are prophets, and not the kind of prophets that will have scripture inspired. We won't have that kind. But then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. Well, I want to wrap up with this set of questions. You see, Paul is saying, folks, you got a lot of people, you're doing different things, and everything's important. That's what I want you to get out of this message. Everything is important. And he reiterates that by asking what we refer to as a rhetorical question. It's like when you ask a question and you know the answer to it already. Okay, you know the answer already. Paul says, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. You know the answer to this question. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Keeps going. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. That's a rhetorical question. But he's laying out a framework, a groundwork. I wish we could cover all this at one sitting, but it would take way too long. It is deep. You can't digest everything at once. You gotta.
You can't grow up all at one time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm stuffed today, Pastor. I'm stuffed. You fed me so much, I'm stuffed. I can't take any more. Takeaway of this message is that we are all important. We all have something to contribute. Don't fall into that trap of thinking that you're not going to be missed if you're not here. And also don't fall into that trap to think that your position in the church or your contribution to the church is so much better than anybody else that I don't know that this church could go on if I wasn't here. Excuse me? Well, if I go on thinking like that, I have my reward.
That would be wrong then, sir.
Wouldn't it though? But that's what the Corinthian church was doing. I don't have any need of you. That's what he said. I can't say to the hand or foot, I don't have need of you. They were saying that. I can't imagine saying that. But we're not expendable. That means we can't lose anybody. Don't want to lose anybody. We're not indispensable. We're not so valuable to this congregation that God couldn't replace me tomorrow.
Any of us.
Those are the two main things I want you to take away. And then, before we walk out of here, after saying all of that, Paul spent all these number of verses. You're all one body. You know, you're all important. You need everybody. But then he finishes up by saying, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Sure. Why would you even want the best gifts? Whose agenda? The Holy Spirit's agenda, not yours. Covet the best gifts that can get God's agenda going better than your own. Does that make sense?
Well, he does the work anyway.
He does the work. I mean, what good is it to have the gift just to exalt yourself? But then he says, and yet, shew I unto you a more excellent way. And that's for next week. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these words. And yes, Lord, they are deep. Open our understanding to understand the deep things of God. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us and give us wisdom and open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. But more importantly, God, help us to be one body, unified, full of the love of Christ. And Lord, that we treat everybody with honor and with respect, that we may obey your word to advance the kingdom. For we pray for the sake and glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.